Hey everybody, welcome to Get to Know Your Wedding Pro. My name is Reed with Best Made Videos. We are a wedding videography company based out of West Seattle, Washington. And today I'm joined by a true double threat, Candy Block of Thrifty Events and Yeti Yard Games. So thank you so much for coming by. Why don't you say hi and tell us a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, hello. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm really excited to be here. So we actually own two wedding industry businesses. So I started Thrifty Events in 2015, and we primarily focus on wedding day of coordination and wedding planning. And then in July of 2017, we launched Yeti Yard Games, and we provide all sorts of yard game rentals for weddings and other private events. So it's super fun.
Yeah, because if running your own small business wasn't hard
right.
enough, let's add a second one
onto
that.
A whole second one there, yeah.
But it sounds like, and I was doing a little reading on your website, it sounds like hopefully you have a good support staff and you have a husband that's helping out. And...
Yeah, I do. Yeah, so my husband is definitely my right-hand man. He actually builds all of the yard games, so he's really hands-on with that business. And then this summer, I have an assistant that helps me with wedding day of coordination, so I also kind of have a team there as well.
Yeah, I've mentioned before on the podcast, my wife's a teacher and, you know, works, and it's all I can do to get her to, you know, come for 4 hours for a wedding show. And here you have, you know, manual labor that's coming out.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, before I had my assistant, my husband was helping me at almost every wedding. I mean, he's a great extra set of hands to move tables, move chairs, gonna help with setup and tear down. So I think he's pretty excited that I have an assistant to handle that this year.
Yeah, he can go. And what does he do?
Yeah, so he's a project manager for Shin Mechanical. So he does a lot of mechanical contract type of work and construction. So yeah, he also has a full like day job as well. So yeah.
Cool. So let's start off here with Thrifty Events, since that was where, you know, kind of the start, and we'll go from there. Tell me a little bit about, I was reading on the site about how you guys were planning. I think it was you and your younger sister were planning your older sister's wedding. How many years ago was that? And walk me through that.
Yeah. So my oldest sister got married in 2012. And so kind of during that process, so my family is all from Indiana. And so at that time, when she was engaged, I was still in Indiana in college and then had moved out here to Seattle. So during her wedding planning process, I was here, but I was helping with the bridal shower, and like bachelorette party, things like that. But it was all from a distance. So I was really relying on my younger sister to help me. And you know, I thought that we were both enjoying that process and like keeping track of details. And it really wasn't until a few years later when my older sister and her husband were having their first child and we started planning their baby shower that my younger sister is like, I don't want to do this. Like, and I'm like, wait, you're my like local person. You're there. And she was just like, yeah, I don't really like this at all. Like, I don't like, she just didn't enjoy like tracking the RSVPs and budget and coming up with decorations or anything. She like, yeah, was pretty forward. And so that's kind of when I realized that not everybody enjoys the process of planning events as much as I did. So
yeah, I mean, even as somebody, you know, that I was in the wedding industry when we got married, like, I think I literally like blacked out that whole summer in my mind in terms of like, you know, meetings and prep. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure people that are listening that are going through it, but like, even, you know, having spend a lot of time at events and weddings, like it's a lot of work. Do you find that, you know, the clients that you get, are they receptive to obviously your planning style and you are happy that you kind of take that weight off their shoulders?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of both. So we have some clients that, you know, they come to me and they are really overwhelmed with the process and are looking for someone to kind of take the lead on that. And I think especially for day of coordination, that's by far like our most popular package. And I think it's because people enjoy planning. They really enjoy picking out their vendors. But then once you have everybody booked, there are still a lot of details that need to fall into place and need to be tracked and managed. And so that's really where the overwhelm starts to kick in.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people will think, oh, you know, my mom will do it, or we have Aunt Susie, you'll do it. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, talk about how that generally might fall apart or might not always work out.
Yeah. So I'll kind of even give our own wedding as an example. So my husband and I got married in 2016 after, you know, we had started the business, and we really wanted a coordinator on our own wedding day just because we knew how much work that was going to be. And one thing that Eli said was that he did not want to be setting up tables and chairs on his own wedding day. And so there's just a lot of pieces that I think couples don't realize have to happen behind the scenes to make for a really smooth wedding day. And then it's also really time consuming. So often we're setting up from the moment we have access to the venue all the way up through maybe like 30 minutes before the ceremony. And if you're trying to assign that task to, you know, parents or your wedding party members, they don't have as much time because they have to get their hair and makeup done. They have to change. They have to start taking photos. And so it really is a lot when you try to assign all of that to family.
So you guys got married in 2016.
Yes.
When did you start Thrifty Events?
I started it in 2015, around like March of 2015.
So what were you doing before kind of making that leap into that?
Yeah. So I was actually working full-time at the University of Washington. I was working in the Office of Admissions for undergraduate students. And there I was actually planning a lot of on-campus events for them. So we did counselor fly-ins where we actually brought high school counselors in from around the country, and we would host them on campus and in the Seattle area. So almost like a conference style event. I would plan a lot of incoming student preview days and campus tours and things like that. So even when I was working full time as a day job, it was still in the events industry.
So then in terms of that transition, was that really scary, or did you feel confident in that, or what was that whole transition process like?
So I know I've talked to a lot of other people in the wedding industry or any small business owners, and it's different for everybody. I think I was really calculated about it. So I actually worked full time for almost a year running Thrifty Events, and then moved to a part-time position on campus in the visitor center, which has freed up a lot more time for me to kind of dedicate towards my business. And I was in that position for almost a year. And then I jumped into full-time with Thrifty Events. So it was a really slow process. I mean, it is a leap still, but for me, it felt more like I was just taking steps to get there and kind of consistently growing my business throughout. I don't think I would have had the courage to just like up and quit my day job without knowing that I had like clients and a well-established business.
No, but I think that that's a good point. I mean, I do think that like, and I even hear, you know, like people like get an idea or, you know, maybe they're unhappy and they think like, well, and then, you know, that was my own case. I mean, I was really unhappy at my job for 3.5 years before I even figured out what I wanted to do. And mm-hmm. then it was still another year of kind of doing. So, I mean, it is a process. And yes. I think that like doing that calculated, like you did, is probably the best way mm-hmm. to go.
Yeah.
So when was the final kind of full leap that you made?
Yeah. So it was, probably around like February of 2017. So just last year. So I've been full time with Thrifty Events for a year now.
And talk about, you know, the sense of not relief, but like flexibility maybe that you have, and talk about kind of that, how your work process has maybe changed since then.
Yeah. I mean, it's changed a lot. And you know, I just remember even when I was working part-time at the University of Washington, there's always that thought in your mind of like, oh, I could be doing so much more if I could just dedicate like all of my day to my business. And then, you know, making that transition, I suddenly really learned that without all of that structure there and without, you know, having to sit down for very limited hours and get as much done as possible, that I really wasn't as productive as I thought I would be. And so it's actually been a huge learning curve of just how to manage my schedule working from home. And I mean, working from home is amazing, but there are definitely struggles to that too if you don't have some kind of structure set up on your own.
So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely an overlooked, you know, that you really do have to be a self-starter. starter and somebody that, you know, you could, you know, Dorothy gets up at six in the morning and I could sleep till noon if I wanted to,
right.
You know, but you really do have to, but you know, I think that speaks to kind of then your work ethic in terms of like everything, right. You know, and clients and all that.
Yeah.
So you had started Thrifty, you guys are kind of planning your own wedding. Did you, were there any specific things that you guys learned, like planning your wedding, besides the fact that your husband didn't want to, you know, set up tables, but like what tricks or tips did you learn that kind of you learned to do better afterward?
So the one thing, the biggest lesson that I learned, is that planning your own wedding is so much different than being a wedding planner. So even having like all of the skills and resources and knowledge to put together a well-organized day, it's still really emotional, like planning your own wedding. I mean, there were definitely times that we were getting RSVPs back from friends and, you know, you're getting like the yeses and nos. And so you go from like being really excited to being like bummed when somebody can't make it. At one point in time, we had a friend officiate for us and he wasn't sure if he would be able to fly in for our wedding because of like work complications. And so, you know, there's just a lot of like wrenches that still get thrown into the mix. And so that was definitely something that I learned, is that it sometimes feels like there's two parts to wedding planning, you know, the detailed pieces where you're staying organized and tracking your vendors and your budget and those like logistical items. But then you also still have like the stress management and dealing with emotions and family and opinions coming from everyone. And so it is both sides, to the whole process.
Yeah, I think, you know, and having a coordinator or a planner, you know, like your company, you know, it's nice to have like an objective opinion. You know, like you said, there's a lot of emotions and stuff.
Right.
And like, it is really helpful just to like have kind of like not a blank slate, but somebody that can like just totally like look at like what should be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can be emotional, but yet you can hire somebody to be.
Right.
Do you find that is a good... clients appreciate that?
Yes. Or? And it's so much easier. You know, when I'm working with other clients, I can just say, you know, this is what I've seen work really well. And this is what I would recommend that you do. Because I am just far enough removed that I'm not hearing, you know, all of the opinions and emotions from all of the family and friends that is kind of weighing on the couple's shoulders when they're making those decisions. And then sometimes it's nice for them to just say like, okay, you know what, like that makes sense. We're going to go with what you decided. And sometimes, you know, there's even that little bit of like a scapegoat where they can tell their parents, like, you know what, our wedding coordinator has seen this happen like hundreds of times and this is what she recommends. And so that's what we're going to go with. And then parents are like, okay, then that's fine too, you know? And so, so that can be really helpful for couples.
Yeah. I love that. We had our own wedding planner and yeah, you can definitely kind of throw them under the bus. And it's like, hey, you know, we really wish, but you know, and like you said, in the meantime, like, you know, when we planned our wedding, we had specific things and like, I would have to go to Rebecca and be like, this is how it's got to be, you know, because I had 5 hours of conversations on my end. And like I said, you know, you just have to execute that vision sometimes, and you don't have to get caught up kind of in all that minutia.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, I'm looking on the site, you know, so you guys offer, you know, not only the day of coordination, you know, the full wedding planning, which I think, you know, is maybe self-explanatory. Or maybe not. Why don't you explain to me kind of what your vision for a day of coordinator is and then what your vision is for a complete wedding planning package?
Yeah. So I'll start with day of coordination because that really does tend to be kind of our most popular package. And usually that's couples that know they want to handle the majority of planning on their own. They're really excited to plan their wedding. They have lots of ideas. And so usually they're coming to us once they have, you know, their venue booked, they've got a date. Maybe they've started booking some other vendors, but they know that on the day of the wedding, they want to be pretty hands-off. They want someone there making decisions, managing the timeline. And a lot of my couples also come to me because they want their family and friends to relax as well. And that can go both ways. So sometimes they're, you know, transplants to Seattle, so all of their family and friends are flying in and they just don't have that option for them to be really hands-on. Or they might have somebody that's really overbearing and they want us to kind of be that buffer for them and make sure that it's handled so that person does feel like they can kind of step back and enjoy the day as well. So for day of coordination, we really help. The bulk of the work happens, you know, about like 2 to 3 months before the wedding, where we'll make sure there's a well-established timeline. We go to the venue together and talk through the layout and decorations. I'll reach out to all the vendors and confirm timeline and details. And then, of course, manage everything the day of. And we also help with the rehearsal as well, which I think is really helpful so I can actually meet, you know, the parents and the wedding party before the day of the wedding. And they can put a face to a name and know they can come to me on the wedding day as well. Even though the bulk of the work happens, 2 to 3 months before the wedding day, we still, I think it's so important that couples have a resource and a person they can go to when they have questions. So from the moment they book me, they can always ask me questions along the way if they have something come up, or they just need like an extra opinion on something. And then for full planning, we actually have two different options. So I have the traditional kind of full planning package where couples are working with me in person, and that's from like the moment they're engaged through their wedding day. So I'm actually helping them find a venue and lock down a date. I'm creating and managing their entire budget. We really talk about priorities and what they're wanting and looking for on their wedding day. And then I'll help them find the right vendors to make all of that happen. And then, of course, it includes everything that day of coordination includes as well. And then this year, I launched something new, which is an online wedding planning course. And it provides kind of all of that same guidance that I would give to my couples that book me for full wedding planning. But it's all online. So it's great for kind of the DIY couple or maybe anyone that doesn't have the budget for a full wedding planner, but they still want to know what steps they should be taking kind of throughout the whole process.
Yeah. Talk about kind of the idea behind that, because I think it's a really good idea, yeah. And obviously that's something unique that you guys offer. So talk to me about, why you decided to do that and maybe the challenges of getting that off the ground.
Yeah. One of the biggest reasons I thought to create the course was just because I was taking other courses from other people about how to manage Instagram. And I was doing a lot of the online courses when it came to like running a business. So they were all kind of like marketing based or business based. And I really just thought like this same format would work really well for couples. Like there's no reason that this couldn't be applied directly to the wedding planning process. It was really kind of during the off season last year in the fall that I just sat down and kind of wrote out the entire outline for it, which once I got going, that like it almost just like flowed out of me so easily just because it's the work that I'd been doing with so many couples. And then the hardest part was actually like sitting down and filming it because that is not my background, but learning how to like film and edit and actually get all of it posted was kind of the most challenging part.
So you've done all that yourself?
Yes.
Well, that's a tremendous feat.
Thank you.
I don't even know if you know in sheer number. I mean, like, do you know how many videos it was and how much time it took? I mean, that's just, it's a lot.
So the course itself is 10 chapters. So it really starts with like you're engaged and, the first chapter is really all about like just kind of settling into that moment of like we're engaged and enjoying it and not jumping into planning too soon. Because that's usually the biggest mistake that couples make is that they just start booking things and then need to like backtrack when they realize maybe they don't have the budget they thought or maybe that doesn't really align with their vision of what they're wanting on their wedding day. So it kind of starts from there and then goes all the way through like prioritizing what's most important to you. There's a whole chapter on establishing a budget, and I actually provide the budget template that I use with my couples and walk through that. So along the way, there are downloadable worksheets and templates that they can use. We talk about booking vendors and, some of the different questions to ask. And then the latter portion of the course does kind of talk about how to create a timeline and keep track of those details. And then the very last chapter goes over coordination and really talks through what the wedding day looks like from the perspective of you as the couple versus the coordinator. So I really do try to make sure couples are clear, if they decide not to hire a coordinator, what the day is going to look like for their family and friends and what kind of tasks they're going to need. And that way, hopefully they can make that decision then, now that they've planned their whole wedding, okay, do we need a coordinator or do we want to choose to DIY this?
Yeah, and I do think that nowadays, I think, you know, with millennials or whatever you want to call it, I do think there's a lot of like, we can do things and figure out how to do them. And mm-hmm. I had just interviewed Danielle with Vanity Photo Bus, and like, you know, they did their whole figured out how to start a bus and the photo booth, mm-hmm. you know, just through like online videos and stuff. And where like, you know, I just think that's like a new thing that people are, you know, and I obviously that would relate to wedding planning as well. You know, if you can, yeah. if you can teach somebody to do something, you can teach them to be a wedding coordinator.
Right. And I think that's kind of always been even my own personality. I mean, I definitely did not study business in school. So everything that I've done to launch, you know, both of our businesses has been me like taking courses online or listening to podcasts. There's courses I've taken at our local community college. And so I just am always focusing on like learning and educating myself. And there are, you know, a ton of wedding resources available. But the one thing that the online course offers is still kind of that one like point person. So they can still come to me with any questions. There's a Facebook group that goes along with the course. So that way, if they are, you know, in the middle of a chapter or in their wedding planning process and, you know, have these questions, they can still come to me. Because one of the, you know, the biggest issues I think a lot of couples have is going online and trying to find information, and you're just reading blog posts like back and forth, and one's going to tell you one thing and then the very next post is going to tell you the complete opposite thing. And so sometimes it's still nice to just have somebody to kind of talk through those things with.
No, and I agree with that. And I think that, you know, going through the site and everything, I think it's a pretty accessible tone, right? I think that like even kind of in the wording that you use to describe like, you know, your day of coordination package and things, like I think it is very accessible because I do think it's very overwhelming. And I do think that it's kind of the best of both worlds, like you said, where you get kind of a online resource, you know, on demand whenever you need it, but you also get kind of the personality, right, that the couples that hire you for that full process, you know, would get, right?
Right.
What has been the reception of that? I mean, has it taken off like you've expected it or hoped it would?
Yeah. So it's kind of, it's been fun to kind of see it all unfold this year. I think, you know, with a lot of projects, when you're trying something new, there's definitely going to be a learning curve. So we actually did a lot of the wedding shows this winter. And I think there was like a little bit of confusion just with couples that are like, I've never heard of this before. Like, what is this really? So that's kind of been new for me, just to kind of explain like what this is, because there's really not a lot of like online courses for wedding planning, or if there are, they're teaching people how to actually like become a wedding coordinator, not necessarily geared for the couple themselves to plan their own wedding. So that's been really interesting, just to get feedback from individuals. I've also had a lot of feedback where people are kind of in the middle of the wedding planning process. And so I think probably the next course, 2.0, that version, might actually split the course. So kind of the first section where you're starting from the very beginning, but maybe have a second course that can kind of start where couples might be at after they have their venue booked already, they have their date, they have quite a few vendors, and they kind of want to focus on like those latter pieces.
Yeah, and I think it's a good price point. You know, I think it's a good like introduction, like you said, and obviously there's going to be, you know, a learning curve involved with like any sort of new idea.
Yeah.
But I think that like the fact of having the new idea, right, is a success in and of itself. And then like you said, so it comes with a Facebook group
mm-hmm.
that,
yeah.
I assume that's beneficial, right, for people to talk?
Yeah, definitely. Yep, they can ask questions there. So that's been super fun. So we have a handful of students enrolled in the course. And we've had great feedback so far once students are in there. It's kind of fun. One of my students in the course has booked me for their wedding in August. And so it's kind of been cool as a coordinator to see her like share documents with me. And I'm like, oh, these are like all of my documents, like my templates. And so it's really easy for me to kind of just like jump right into where they're at in planning because they've kind of followed all of, the steps that I've laid out as if I were planning with them as like a full planning client.
What are maybe some common mistakes you see couples make early on, or maybe, you know, some things that you've come in and kind of helped them that they maybe could do better, mm-hmm. that maybe somebody that's listening could kind of learn from?
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that I mentioned where, you know, couples get engaged and they're really excited to start planning and they really just kind of immediately jump into it. And I think the first thing, you know, everybody does is just start looking at venues right away without really having any kind of understanding of how much venues vary, just in what they include, what their capacities are going to look like, what their price points are, how choosing a venue location can drastically impact, you know, the logistics of your wedding day. And so I think oftentimes couples, you know, find their venue and they get that booked, and that's usually a pretty big piece of the budget too. And then maybe they run into problems with like, oh, it's not quite the capacity we needed, or maybe we spent too much of our budget on that, or they didn't realize that it didn't include something that now they have to rent. And so there's a whole chapter in our course that just talks about venues and things to consider, and like a worksheet that couples can bring with them to site visits to kind of compare the different items that are included at all of the venues. And so I think that's a huge piece to understand because there are venues that, you know, definitely cost a little bit more, but they might include a lot of the items that it's going to save you some money down the road versus booking a venue that's maybe like the state or city parks where they are less expensive, but couples may not realize that that means they have to bring in everything on their own, which can cost a lot more down the road. So,
yeah, I think, you know, and we talk with a lot of couples at the wedding shows and stuff too. And, at least, and maybe you can either echo this or disagree, but I think the biggest thing that I've seen recently is where couples pick a date mm-hmm. and they don't have anything else. And so, you know, we'll be talking, oh, hey, you know, congrats, the couples will come by the wedding show and like, oh, when you get married, like, oh, September 1st. It's like, oh, you know, where are you getting married at? Well, we don't have a venue yet.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the venue's got to come first because, you know, you can pick whatever date you want, but if wherever yeah. you want to get married, do you see that? Do you run into that?
Sometimes, yeah. And that's where, you know, if a couple is really firm on the date that they want, then they have to be flexible in the venue options that they have. Whereas if, you know, if they have some flexibility, they have even, you know, two or three dates that are preferred, or even just opening that up to like, we know what month maybe we want to get married in, or even a season, you know, that can be helpful yeah, right. because then when you're going to the venue and you're asking, what's your availability like, you're kind of giving that venue some options, a few different dates. And then usually that's the best way to find a good location.
Yeah. I think, you know, like when we had gotten engaged, it was like, I think we made a list of like, you know, what things can the person only do one, you know, on mm-hmm. the one day. Right. Yeah. So like, you know, your venue can only be on, you know, it's gotta be on your date, you know, your photographer's gotta be available, you know, and then there's other things like if you're renting like linens or a florist mm-hmm. or whatever. Right. I mean, do you help kind of break that down in categories of like, you know, these things, you know, yeah. be able to, you know, accommodate.
Yeah, definitely. And right along those lines, I think one of the things that, a lot of couples don't understand, and I think most people don't until you're actually in the wedding industry out here in Seattle, is that it is very, very seasonal. And especially in Seattle, we have such a short peak season. That's really from like July to August with a little bit of a shoulder into like June and September. And so it's really important that couples understand when they get engaged, you know, to just say like, oh, I want to get married September 1st of this year, is going to be much, much harder to find a venue than if they had picked September 1st of 2019 or things like that. So just finding, you know, the right amount of time that they need to plan and understanding the seasonality of that. I also try to do, you know, a little bit more education with my clients of understanding like when the best times to do tastings will be and when, you know, vendors are going to have a lot of availability to sit down and do consultations and, you know, be able to get back to them right away because it is a slower season versus, you know, if you're sending your vendors an email on a weekend in August, you're probably not going to get a response until the weekday and just making sure they understand just how much that season affects the work that wedding vendors do.
So I want to talk a little bit about, besides the online course that you provide, a lot of the other resources that you have available on your site. You know, so I was perusing through some of the blogs or the vlogs, earlier today and blogs. And then now I was just kind of browsing here while we were chatting about this DIY challenge and these different challenges on there. So maybe do you want to start with the challenges and then we can work back?
So we have a whole page on my website called Freebies. And one of them is the DIY challenge, and it's a 7-day email sequence, and each day kind of talks about a different topic. And so I created this after the wedding shows, and so I had actually sent an email out to kind of everyone I had talked to at the wedding shows and a lot of the upcoming clients, and just asked them like, what are you planning to DIY and what areas do you want the most help with? And then I took all of those responses and created this DIY challenge. And so it ended up being 7 days just because the responses were so overwhelming with like what people were wanting information on. And so each one includes either a video or an interview with another wedding professional kind of in that realm, giving tips and advice. There's some key takeaways there, but it's really just kind of helping people get started and avoid some of those like common pitfalls when it comes to, you know, taking on a piece of the wedding to DIY.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's like awesome. I think that couples kind of really thrive on getting that, you know, those free resources and different ideas that you have. And then you have this whole vlog series too, mm-hmm. right? Kind of talking about different venues and making the most time with your photographer. How long ago has that been going? I mean, what was the starting process?
I just started that actually at the beginning of this year. So kind of with the launch of the online course was really when I started vlogging. I think video is great. It's so much easier.
I would agree.
It's so much easier to like watch a video and get so much more from it because I know that reading wedding blogs can be a time suck kind of. And so I thought that, you know, a vlog would just be such a fun way to like connect with couples. And with all of my newfound like video editing skills, it was a lot easier to start creating those. And so we just have a YouTube channel with all of our vlogs and then they're also posted to our website. So I try to vlog weekly or every other week, kind of depending what we have going. Usually if it's every other week, then in the off weeks, we'll highlight one of our weddings from the past year and we'll kind of show photos. So people have a lot of inspiration as well on our website.
And you'll go through and walk through that with people? I mean, on the video?
We call it just like real wedding blog posts, just kind of show the photos from the day. We provide who the vendors were. And I'd usually just try to share like what I really liked about the day, what they did really well, what was really unique about it. And that way couples can kind of scroll through those and just gather some inspiration. And then if we're not posting about a real wedding, then it's usually a vlog post.
So it's kind of like a Pinterest board
kind of come to life.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, through this, the online course, right, we got the vlogs, we've got the wedding planning, and then you guys decided to launch Yeti Yard Games. Which I think is awesome. I think it's a great name. I think I told you as you walked in, I just tagged you in a post in the wedding community about it. What was the inspiration behind starting this kind of I mean, I guess a sister brand related in weddings. Talk about that.
Yeah. So it all really started. So my husband, Eli, does a lot of woodworking. He's incredibly talented. You know, we have an entire shop. Really, it's our garage, but our garage is actually larger than our home. It's like that kind of space on our property. And he loves woodworking. He used to do work like framing houses and all sorts of stuff. And so it all started with our wedding, and I really wanted a giant Jenga set at our wedding. And so he had built that. And we had gotten married at Kama Beach State Park. So it's on the water. It's like a really beautiful, like, state park, gorgeous trees. And so he had found this like branding iron that was of like a little tree. And so he had put that on all of the Jenga pieces. And so fast forward, you know, I'm working with other couples for coordination. People knew we had the Jenga set. And so my couples were like renting out our Jenga set. And then I started to get questions from other wedding vendors saying like, hey, can my couples rent that out? Like, do you have other games? And people were asking for like different, you know, the cornhole sets, the giant Connect Four, that sort of thing. And my husband's like, yeah, I can make that. So he started building more of the games. And then I really just decided, you know, this kind of needs to be its own business. It needs its own website for people to be able to find it. A lot of people aren't thinking like, hey, I want to rent a cornhole set. Let me go talk to a wedding planner. The name kind of came about because my husband found another branding iron of a Yeti, and then he kind of
why not?
I know, exactly. And then he was like, we should call it Yeti Yard Games. And everything about the business has just been super fun and really lighthearted. We really don't overthink a lot of those decisions. We're like, yeah, sure. Like, Yeti Yard Games sounds fun. I started up the website. We kind of put the name out there, and it's really just taken off ever since. It's such a Pacific Northwest business, I feel like, which is so fun for us.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm looking through here, you know, you got your cornhole and your giant Jenga, mm-hmm. but then, you know, giant tic-tac-toe. I mean, there's even this like huge Connect Four. And yes. I mean, it looks like it's really good craftsmanship. I mean, like, I know, like, we have my brother's got like a ladder golf set, mm-hmm. but like anytime, you know, even if it's like for 5 minutes, like anytime we do a family get together, it's like, well, let's go play ladder golf, you know? And so it really is. I mean, is that like a new thing, these games? I mean, I guess I started seeing them at weddings a few years ago. Have you noticed that it's been this explosion now, or?
Yeah. I mean, I think it has kind of started over the last couple of years. It's nice to have the games out as guests are arriving for the ceremony, for any early arrivers, maybe if you have family photos happening before the ceremony, so people that have to get on site early, it kind of gives them a little bit of something to do. And then also during cocktail hour, it's great to kind of have that entertainment. And they're all games that are really easy. Everybody knows what the games are, so they don't really need instruction. They're really fun. And then I also think it's a great option if you're not sure if you have a dancing crowd, you know? We've helped coordinate a lot of weddings where people know, like, their friends and family are really more chill. They want to enjoy a few good drinks. And so the games are a great supplement to that as well.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, you know, that obviously you want everybody to be like comfortable and to have mm-hmm. fun at your weddings. And yeah, not everybody is going to want to go out and do like the Cupid Shuffle or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, like you said, like offering that alternative. And I mean, mm-hmm. you know, kids can play with them.
Right.
You know, older people can play with them. Yeah. You know, everybody in the middle. I think we were talking off air before too about how I see some of these kind of DIY every once in a while, like, you mm-hmm. know, when we go film weddings and we'll see like, you know, people get like Jenga, but they'll just like get like 2x4s at the store. I don't really know how like woodworking works. But there's nothing more frustrating than like going to a wedding and having the things like be janky or not work,
right.
you know? And I think people think like, oh, well, we'll just, whatever. Well, that was a waste of, you know, 4 hours of your time if it doesn't actually work or people don't enjoy it. Talk about kind of the quality and making sure it's all kind of high caliber stuff.
So all of our games, so I mentioned my husband handcrafts all of our games. And that is really important. And also, I mean, like the size of the games, like our Connect Four sits like 5 feet tall or so. So it's like at like eye level when you're playing. And it really is like that thing that people see sitting in the yard and they're like drawn to it. They're like, whoa, like that's so cool. Because there are places, you know, like you can buy games online or buy them from stores. And they're like, they're giant compared to like the tabletop games, but like to kind of have that like wow factor is pretty cool. And then, I mean, we've coordinated weddings too, or we've seen events where people have like the ladder golf that's out of like PVC pipe, but you like toss like one of the golf balls at it and then it like breaks or like tips over. And so like, you know, it is important that the games like can be played and they're like sturdy. And yeah, I mean, that's important.
Well, and also like, I think even people that like try to build them and then afterward, like you have to deal with all this stuff. And I think that like, you know, I mean, after we got married, like it was enough just to kind of go through like the gifts or whatever bags you had, let alone like, oh, now I have like, you know, 10 pounds of wood sitting in my corner that I have to, you know, get rid of or give away. Is that a struggle between kind of, you know, running the two businesses now? I mean, like you said, the Yeti Yard Games is a lot of fun and it's a little more casual, but just juggling those multiple balls, is that, what's that like?
Yeah. So it's been, again, like another learning curve, because a lot of the requests are coming in at such different times. So for Thrifty events, you know, my summer calendar has been filled for quite some time because people book coordination and full planning so far in advance. Whereas, you know, we're still getting requests for this coming summer for yard games. And, you know, we try to accommodate as many of them as we can. But it is just really different for me to kind of balance that. You know, with Yeti Yard Games, we may not have a firm idea of what our weekend is going to look like until about like 2 to 3 days before. Whereas for the wedding planning business, everything is like so set so far in advance. So it's definitely balancing both of those, which is great now that I have an assistant to help me with Thrifty events. My husband really is the person handling like all of the deliveries and pickups and drop offs for the yard games.
But that's great. I mean, to have kind of the whole family involved. And I think we had talked off air too about, yeah, like having those, where they're so seasonal here and kind of having those two different, you know, sources of you know, income, but also just like different, you know, parts of your brain that is going to both.
Yeah.
Is this where it stops, or are you, you know, just sitting down with you here, you strike me as somebody that's always kind of trying to think about expanding. Yeah. What else is going on?
Oh man. I have more ideas than I could probably, like, I couldn't even do them all. It's weird. It's like once you start like getting into entrepreneurship and running a small business, it's like your brain never shuts off from it, which I really love. It's super fun. I'm excited to be here and doing this podcast because I love podcasts. I think it would be so much fun to even start my own, you know, just, you know, talking to couples or other wedding vendors about the wedding planning process. And that also goes along with like just really enjoying putting together my vlog every week and things like that. I'm always kind of dreaming up new ideas or new things to incorporate into our businesses for sure.
Yeah, I think it's interesting nowadays where like you really can kind of do whatever you want, you know, in terms of like, we have the resources and we have the technologies and we have, you know, it's like, it was like the podcast, you know, like I kind of been like, you know, trying to figure out stuff since I went to the wedding MBA back in October. And then, you know, there's nothing really stopping you from, you know, building your own online directory, you know, for couples in terms of like the wedding planning DIY. Do you see like growing that more, or do you see still your bread and butter is going to be like your day of coordination and working? Do you prefer working hands-on with couples?
I do. I really enjoy working with my couples. And so I think that that will always kind of be our bread and butter. And then I think it's just a matter of, you know, kind of what else we offer to couples on top of that. I think, you know, kind of what we've talked about in the beginning, where there's two parts to wedding planning of like the logistics and day of details, but then also that like stress management piece and kind of managing the emotions. And so there are a lot of things that I've been kind of thinking about of what are ways that I could help couples more in that realm that may not kind of exist already. And so, yeah, lots of things in the works right now, for sure.
And then just talk about, I think, what you, like, with your own personality, what you think is the greatest benefit that you give to couples. I mean, besides, like, logistics of, like, you know, I help get contracts in order. But, I mean, yeah. Is it just that sense of organization, or is it, like, a sense of calm? Or what do you think, you know, with your own personality that you bring to that?
Yeah, I really think it is... That sense of calm. And so I think it's, you know, every planner is a little bit different and every coordinator handles the wedding day differently. And so, you know, my approach is that we're going to stay on schedule as best as we can. We're going to follow all of the details, but you can also only plan up to a certain point, and then you have to roll with the punches and you have to kind of be on your toes and able to, you know, change things up if you need to or find quick fixes. And so I think that that's a huge part of coordination that a lot of people don't see. And even a lot of couples understanding that, like, hey, they'll admittedly say, like, I'm really type A, so I know all of the details, but they want someone there so that way if problems do arise, they can handle them, because they're like, I can't handle that type of thing, where we really can. And so I think that's kind of the other specialty, is just really being able to, like, stay calm in those situations and think on your feet, and kind of keep a level head throughout the entire wedding day is really important.
What is your favorite part of the wedding day?
Yeah. Oh man, that's really hard, because there's so many, like, parts of it. I think kind of watching as, like, setup is happening, to go from, like, a completely empty space or, like, nothing on tables, to, like, the full, like, transformation. Because what a lot of people don't know is that it looks really, really messy until it looks beautiful. And sometimes that can really freak out couples if they, like, step into the room, like, mid setup, and they're like, this does not look like it's going to come together. And I'm like, I promise you that it will. But there's always that, like, little bit of rush when you're like, okay, we're putting, like, the final touches on everything and, like, stowing away boxes and, like, crates and, you know, whatever else. And then, like, you look up and you're like, whoa, like, how did that all come together? And I think that's a really, like, fun moment. But yeah, most people don't know, like, it all looks really disorganized until it looks really beautiful. Like, it comes together at that last moment. And then I also love getting everybody down the aisle. And that's, like, a moment of, like, take a deep breath for me, because once the ceremony is going, like, I kind of have that moment of, like, all right, that first part of the day is finished. And now we're going to move into, like, cocktail hour reception, that sort of thing. And then I think that same moment kind of happens after, like, the first dances are done and the toasts are finished and, like, dancing has started and everybody's just hanging out. And that's kind of like, okay, that last piece is in place.
Yeah. I think it's cool. Something that we've not all the time, but I've seen recently is doing that, like, and it is kind of weird in concept, but like that, reception room reveal to the couples, if the timeline allows it, where, like, cause people don't think about that, you know, you spend all this time and energy and money on, you know, the tables and chairs and lights and the room and the venue and, you know, you getting coordinated and styling everything. And then it's like, you know, if the guests all come in and everything's, you know, obviously you want to do that grand entrance and kind of see everybody, like, hooting and hollering, but it is kind of cool to, like, see everything, like, as you envision it. I mean, do you try to do that, or have you noticed that that's more of a thing now?
Yeah. I mean, I love when couples get a chance to, like, see the reception space before they're doing the grand entrance, like, before everybody's, like, sat down at the tables and, like, moved favors and napkins and things like that. So, and if the couple, you know, can't sneak away for that moment, then I always make it a priority to at least grab the photographers or videographer and say, like, hey, the whole space is set right now and it's empty. Like, go ahead and go up there and get some, like, room shots and detail shots. And that way, you know, after the wedding day, the couple can also kind of have that moment of seeing, like, what it looked like before anyone was, like, in the room.
Yeah. Cause it's, you know, once you get everything, but it's
once, like, any guests start, like, sneaking into the room, like, it's not going to have that just, like, everything set perfectly kind of look to it.
So. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in here today and talking. If people were more interested to learn more about either Thrifty Events or Yeti Yard Games, what would you have them do and check out?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. Again, this has been so much fun. Instagram is a great place to find us. We're at Thrifty Events or at Yeti Yard Games, so both super easy to find. You can also check out our website. It's thriftyevents.net. That is important that it's .net, not .com. And then yetiyardgames.com for that one.
And like I said, you know, we had talked about all the vlogs and stuff. I mean, I really do think that that's like a priceless resource that couples have. And I commend you for doing that in terms of,
you know,
weekly vlogs and then doing this. If people are interested in learning about the online, you know, courses as well that they can take. Well, this has been another episode of Get to Know Your Wedding Pro. Come back next week for another wedding vendor interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you.